battlefield. And rather, I should say, he was about to go to the battlefield. Yishai was giving directions. Let's pick that up from Pasuk Yitzayin. But Yom Yishai David, you know, Yishai said to David his son, "Kachno lachecha epas akoli, take for your brothers this measure of flour, azeh, vaseres alechem azeh, toasted flour, vasara alechem azeh, and these 10 breads, vareitza machne lachecha, and run with them to the camp with your brothers. Vaseres chariti achola vaeleh, and these 10 measures of milk or of cheese, I think they're cheeses. The Tavila Sarella bring to the general, and see how your brothers are doing, and take their guarantees." And last week we spoke about that, whether it meant the get or how they're doing or paying off their credits, or it means that Yehuda was Binyamin was an orate for Yehuda, whatever shot you were in this pasuk. And finally, Yishai answers directly by saying, "Shol Hema, the Kol Yisrael Be'emekayela, Shol, and they, and your brothers, and all the members of Am Yisrael are in Emekayela, Nilchami Plishtim, and they're waging war with the Plishtim." Okay, Vayashkein David Baboker, David arose early in the morning, Vayitosh Ezatzon Al Shomer, and he left the sheep with a watchman, Vayisah, and he took that which he was commanded, Vayelech, and he went, Kasher Tzivo Yishai, like Yishai commanded, and very, very responsible, doing exactly what he was told to do. Vayavah Magola, he came to the outer perimeter of the camp. It's mentioned here as being around in the back of the camp. They had a perimeter, either a fence or a whole bunch of watchmen, to make sure nobody fled and to make sure, I guess, to guard from the rear. So he got to the perimeter fence, the back fence of Magola. Vachayel Yetzel Marocha, and inside the camp, on the other side, the army, the legions, were going out to the battlefield. They rail by Milchama, and they blew the horns, the battle horns. Vatarochi solo plishti marocha, and the Jews and the plishti made their arranged their battle formations. Likras marocha, marocha likras marocha. One formation, the formation of the Jews, opposite the formation of the plishti. Vaitosh David esakein, David left all the stuff he brought. Olav, we're with him. Ayat shomer kelim, next to the watchman of the kelim. Vayora tamarocha, and he ran to the formation. Vayvova ishal lechov l'shalom, and he came because he saw them going out into make their formation. He went and he found his brothers and he asked them how they were doing. Rumadaberimam. I'm sorry, the first word here is cut off on each first word, but I'll guess what it is. Vayrumadaberimam. He's speaking with them. Isha Beinayim Ole, the man in the middle, who used to come out, stand in the middle every day, was coming out. That's Goyas HaPlishti Shmo. His name being Golagas, the Plishti Migas. Mimaros Plishti came out from the formations of the Plishti. Now it says here, Maros, that's the Ksiv. Mimarchos Plishti is the Kree, the way it's supposed to be read, which means from the formation of the Philistines. Vaydabekit Vaymeel, and he said the words he normally said, Vayishma David and David heard.
Now, did Yishai send him here? Does it tell either he sent him to his actual brothers or to his
actual brothers. We're going to see in a minute, to his actual brothers.
They were soldiers,
yes. They were sent to his actual brothers. Now, if you see here, the maros is a kriuk siv. It should be marchos. It's written maros. So Rashi brings down here in the Kav Kimel maros plishtim ksiv. That's the way the ksiv is. That's the way it's written, even though you don't read that way. Rabbi Seinu Dorshu Meil Bnei Adam Heru Barpa. The way our rabbis dash this pasuk, they say that Orpa, the night she conceived, the Goyas had relations with 100 men. She was awful busy that night. So that night, when she returned from Ruth and Naomi going to Israel, and she stayed behind, she had relations with 100 men. Later on, we'll see it's not exactly 100 men, it's 100 men and a dog. So in any event, so Maros, she tried, is an allusion to her activity that there were all these people had arias relationships. Maros, Erva, Heola, these are all words which are connected. They all had relations with her. Now, as a matter of fact, Isha Benayim, they also dodge in the mean, literally means the man in the middle. But here it means that nobody knows exactly who his father was because there were so many other people involved, so he came out, Mibain, several different people from among them. Okay? Now, David Hurt, challenges, the brazenness of Goliath, yes. Right. Goliath was considerably older than David. Goliath, according to Chazal, was considerably older than David. Yes, he was probably it's 60, 70, something like that. Older. Yeah. Giants live longer, right. Actually, they don't. Usually, nowadays, in age, they live shorter. But in the old days, right. In the good old days, the giants live longer. If you take a look here, in the parts, a couple of things the Malbim points out. First of all, it says, Oleh. Where is it? B'nei Shemayim Oleh was going up. He was going towards towards the Jewish camp. This is something which he was not bold enough to do previously. Obviously, he became bold because so many days had passed and they hadn't challenged him. So therefore, he felt very confident, literally going right up to the perimeter of the Jewish camp and saying, "Hey guys, where's somebody to fight me?" Oleh! He went right up to them, came right up and said this. Besides that, the Maim points out that the Plishtim themselves must have been getting emboldened more. Mimarchos Plishtim, the Maim learns that their formations are drawn closer and closer to the Jewish camp. They're getting more and more confident, and the Jews are getting less and less confident. And this is pointed out by the next pasuk, where it says, "V'chol Yisrael, all the Jews, b'roisem esayish, when they saw Goliath, what do? V'ayinusu v'ponav." They ran away. They're very, very frightened. They're very, very afraid. So, Goliath is bolder. Goliath draws close. David sees this. Pasuk Chafei. Vayomer Ish Yisrael. The Jews said, "Haraisem Isha Ola Hazeh." Did you see this guy is coming up? Ki lecharef Ish Yisrael to mock, to scoff against the Jews. Ola is coming up. Vayomer Ish, but you should know that the person Asher Yakenu, the person who smites Goliath, Yashrenu HaMelech Osher Godo, God is going to give him very, very great riches. Vezbito, and the king, his daughter, Yitinlo, will give to that individual. Vezbeisavi, not only that, but also his father's house, the household of that individual who smites Goliath, Yaseh Choshev Yisrael will be made tax-free in Israel. So obviously it's a very, very distinguished thing. We don't see this promise anywhere. Obviously Yisrael made this promise earlier and said whoever smites Goliath...
Who was the Ish Yisrael?
The Ish Yisrael is not even though it's written singular, means everybody was staying in the camp. That was common knowledge. Okay? Vayomer David Anashim, we'll come back to this in a minute. Vayomer David Anashim Chavav, David said to the people of Omdi Mimbo, who were standing there Limor, to say the following. Maya said, "What will be done Lisha Shayakas Aplishti Allah?" To the individual who smites his Plishti. Vayisir Chepa Me'ayisor removes the embarrassment, the shame from Am Yisrael. Ki Mi'a Plishti Arel Azeh, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Ki Cherev Marchos Elohim Chaim, who has blasphemed, who has mocked the formations of the living God. Now, most of Farshim would learn this pasuk that David had not heard Pasuk Chafei. He hadn't heard that there had been this promise made. And when he came, he asked innocently, "What's the deal here? What does somebody who smites Goliath get?" However, the Malbim has a very, very interesting and kind of original interpretation of this pasuk, the pasuk Chavav. He says that. In Pasuk Chafei, David did hear that this was promised to the person who smite Goliath. In Pasuk Chavav, David is saying, look at the way the mom reads it. Vayomer David el Anoshim Ha'om Dimo, David said to people standing there with him, Lemor, saying the following, Maya Yaseh Ish Hazeh Ashayakis HaPlishti Allahs. You want to know, you have to know what's going to happen to an individual who defeats that Plishti. You need a reward. He doesn't need a reward. The Hasir Kherpa may Al Yisrael, you don't need an extrinsic reward for beating up Goliath. The reward is itself having vanquished this individual who's scoffing Am Yisrael, scoffing at Kodesh Baruch Hu. The reward is the activity itself. That's what he's saying. What do you need an extrinsic reward for? Right, Tzchar Mitzvah, Mitzvah, very good. Kimi HaPlish Dehorazeh, who's this guy? He Kherev Marachos Elohim Chaim, that he comes brazenly to scoff our formations. The reward for destroying him, for eradicating him, is the eradication. It's the Kiddush Hashem involved. So the Mami in Pasuk of Zion interprets along the same vein. He says, Vayomer Loam, the nation said to David, Kadover Hazeh, like this, Lamar saying the following, Koyeh Aselo Isha Shayakenu, so shall be done to the person who smites Goliath. Now again, if you learn Pashim Shana on the Pasuk, David didn't hear. In Pasuk of Vav, he's asking what you get. In Pasuk of Zion, they're saying, this is what you get. They repeated Pasuk Chafei and Pasuk of Zion. However, the way the Malbim learns, he means that what they're telling him, Pesach of Zion, is as follows. But Yom Elam, the nation said to him, Kadar as follows, Lemor, to say this over, Kol Yaseh La'ish Asher Yakenu. It's not a reward. Even Shaul knows, he doesn't have to reward the Jew who kills Goliath with his daughter as a schar, as a reward. However, Shaul's perspective is, I have a daughter to marry off. She needs a shidduch. What better shidduch can I have for my daughter than this individual who smites the plishti? In other words, it's not a reward. But rather, that was Shaul's way of deciding whose tak is suitable to marry his daughter. So, the nation saying to David, it's true, you're right. There's no reward necessary in order to compel this behavior. Shaul's promising this because he wants to afford the person who does this the chance to marry his daughter, precisely because that person must be suitable for his daughter, not for any other reason. The Rabag has a very interesting spin on Pasuk of Zayin. He says, on Pasuk Chavav, actually, one of these psukim, they all run together. He says that, why would Shaul choose the person who smote Goliath to be his son-in-law? Why should he do that? What would you say? Imagine your show. What would you? Why would you choose that person to smoke Goliath? It's brave, but what do you need him for? To overcome Shmuel's nevuah. Shmuel's prophecy was that Shaul was going to lose the kingship. So Shaul wants a tough guy, a gibor, a hero, to be his son-in-law, so that when that day comes, he'll be able to try and fight it. To be able to try and maintain his monarchy in the face of all the resistance which is about to arise. Okay? Kavches, Vayishma Eliyav Achiv HaGadol, Eliyav, who was David's older brother, heard B'davar Anashim when Shaul was speaking to when David was speaking to the people. Vaychar Af Eliyav B'David. Eliyav got angry at David. Vayomer, and he said to him, Lama Zeyaradito, why did you come down? By whom did you leave the little bit of sheep which we have in the desert? I know your malice, and your evil heart. You just came down to idle away your time here as a spectator. It's, well, you know, in the old days for football, so they actually had to watch wars instead of Someone once told me that, by the way. It's completely balled up, right? But I'll come back to that in a second. Someone told me that. It's completely off on a tangent, but I think it's not true. Just want to mention my perspective on this, is that sports are good because otherwise people would actually act out their violence. And therefore, you need sports so that people can live their violence vicariously. You like that, Svara?
Yes, I think psychologists. Wrestling, boxing.
That may be good. That may be true for a guy, but it's not an excuse for yeshiva bachur to go and watch sports. That's my concern. I don't care if the guy is. But in any event, so in the old days, they went to watch the wars. No sports. You went to watch the gladiators. You went to watch the warriors. That's what David HaMelech was doing here. Now, again, this pasuk is problematic because Eliyav is accusing David of all these things here in Pasuk Chav Ches. But where should he have accused David of all this stuff? Back in Pasuk Chav Gimel. Because in Pasuk Chav Gimel already he's schmoozing with his brothers. Vayishal Echav
L'Shalom. As soon as he arrived,
it's right, not now. So the Ma'alim Mitzudas David, they don't smell anything fishy here. They say Eliyahu was legitimately asking these questions. And they hadn't yet discussed why David was visiting. I don't think that that's the case. And light apostle Chabez, I think there's a talking place.
Well, didn't he bring him the thing that the Tzar sent?
Yeah, he did.
So that was the excuse for him being there. How else would they have gotten the packages?
Oh, but they didn't see the packages yet. Because that's the packages by the perimeter, by the sentry. And he went then to speak to his brothers. But Avo Bichain, they were already talking already, so I don't...
This is really analogous to Yossi from last week.
That Yosef was sent by his father to see how his brothers are doing. And the brothers were upset. This is the oldest brother. Let me come back to the question. You know, you mentioned the parallel from Yosef. I noticed when I was preparing another parallel to Yosef, and that's what I was thinking of while you asked the question. I don't remember where I saw it. It must be, it's further, but I don't remember. Saw a parallel to Yaakov, not to Yosef. That was different. But you have a good point. There certainly is a parallel to Yosef here in the friction between David and his brothers. Yes, that's definitely the case. So I think, picking up on that, I'll come back to what you said in a second. Picking up on that, I think that Eliyahu knew David. And he knew David's integrity. And he knew David's courage. But Eliyahu didn't want David to become the hero, especially because Eliyahu knew that David had been anointed to be king over Am Yisrael. And he was jealous. And he was an angry person. So therefore he started asking all these nuisance questions, even though he knew the answers. And he knew David was illegitimate, he asked them in public. Why did he ask them in public? In order to give David a negative image. And therefore to prevent Shaul from taking him as a son-in-law. At this point, probably Eliyahu understood that the way David is going to become king is through becoming Shaul's son-in-law. So he wanted to prevent that. By the way, if you remember, this comes back to what you were saying before. The Chazal say that the reason why Eliyahu lost the kingship is because he got angry. At the time, that he would have thought that the oldest son of Yishai was destined to be the king. But Eliyahu, because he got angry here, years earlier, however many years, maybe it was only a year or two, but whatever, earlier had lost the kingship. He pocket lost it because of the anger displayed here. And we mentioned then, we spoke, what? Because of this anger. No, because of this anger. And we mentioned that that's difficult because this anger occurred subsequent to his having lost the kingship. So we mentioned two approaches. One is that the fact that he got angry here reveals a tendency, like you just said. But Reb Tzadik says that when the fact that he got angry here isn't the tendency, doesn't necessarily indicate a tendency, but rather you are judged not just on what you have done, but what you will do. And if sometime in the future Eliyahu is going to sin, that already lends or casts an aspersion on him right now in the present. So that's why Eliyahu already before had lost the kingship because of what he would be doing later on. Okay?
Also, it's a rather petty question that Eliyahu is asking. What do you do with this sheep? Here, the entire Jewish nation is threatened with the annihilation, losing the war.
Yeah, but
and he's worried about
the sheep. He's telling him, hey, this is not true. You're a kid. You were left to perform a job.
No, that's nice. That's true. You're both right. The thing is, I want you to remember something which the Ma'ariv Kora points out later on, which I can't relate to. How old was David at this time? According to Chazal, how old was David? Let's work backwards. How old was David when he died? How long did he reign? 40 years. 40 years. Right now he was 28 according to Chazal, because Chazal holds that all Shaul HaMelech's reign was 2 years. So we mentioned many weeks ago that there are other interpretations. Josephus says it was 22 years, maybe even longer than that. So, but if you take Pashim Shan Chazal like the Ma'ariv Kora does, then he was 28. He wasn't such a younger man anymore, you know. Even the Charedim in Israel, they go to the army by the time they're 28, right? So it was already very, he was already very advanced. I don't understand the story then in that case. But you're correct in that case. In that case, Eliyahu Taka has no taina. Because Eliyahu's talking to a 28-year-old man. He's already, should have been drafted 10 years ago. Right, he went to a Hesder Yeshiva for a few years maybe. But still, he should have been drafted many years earlier. If you take Pashim Shah in the Pasuk though, you know, that he was Taka Nahar now, like it says several times over, then you're right. Could be you're right that Aliyah was talking, asking him legitimate questions. Like the Malbim, the Surah Slavic. What are you doing here? You, Bekoshia, Bar Mitzvah, Bacher, Leso, or whatever, Shushri, and Beom? Right? Okay? V'chol Yisrael, I went back. Vayomer David. So David said, Me'asisi, what I do? I talk now. Hello, Davaru. I was just talking. So like the Malbim is a little bit difficult. Because like the Malbim, he should be explaining, he should be answering. And he talking has good answers, which the Malbim did point out. The Malbim says, if you take a look back in Pasuk, in Pasuk Chav, it says, "Vayashkim David baBoker, Vayitosh Tzor HaShomer." He carefully gave the sheep to watchmen, and Vayelakat Shetzvah Yishani was going because his father commanded him, etc., etc. So, if Taka, this was an innocent question, David should have said, "What do you want? Yishai sent me. What do you want? I made sure to keep the sheep safe and secure before I left." But I think that David's response is actually geared to the way I understand the question. Of course I think that way. Which is that David is saying that all I'm doing is talking about the issue. About killing Goliath. And about Shaul's daughter. Did I do anything? Do you see me do anything? Why are you critiquing me just for talking about it? Now, Lemaisa, in fact, David will go and kill Goliath. But at this point, he's saying to Aliyah, "Bug off! I didn't do anything. I haven't said a word. Just talking."
Stam rate.
That don't bother me about it. Okay. So I think that Pasuk Chav Tes indicates that Pasuk Chav Ches Aliyah was doing in order to make David look bad, and David saying, "Stop! You know, I didn't do anything." Vayisol mitzlo. So Pasuk Lamed. Vayisol mitzlo el mul acher. Now, David turned from Eliyav, or from the first guy he was talking to talk to another guy. Vayomer kadavar hazeh. And he said also confirmed the promise of Shaul. Vayishivu am dovar kadavar ishon. And all the people in the nation, they responded to him just like the first response. So again here, I think this runs counter to the previous Malbim. Previous Malbim said, David, he wasn't interested in a daughter. He was said he had to do shame shemaim. But here David seems to be very, very driven to confirm that this in fact is a reward which is being promised for killing Goliath. So maybe David changed his mind now. I don't know. Maybe now he said, hey, Shaul's daughter, not such a bad idea after all. But in any event, David is clearly interested in Shaul's daughter and finding out exactly what's going on and the extent of the promise. Okay. David. In the meantime, these words which David said before about how it was necessary to go out and fight this blasphemer, the Goliath, were heard around the camp, right? They started spreading like wildfire. They were said over. In front of Shaul, Vaikochei and Shaul took or commanded David to come to him. Vayomer David el Shaul. So David said to Shaul, and they were of course acquainted from the music and from the playing. Ayipo lev adam alav. A man's heart should not fall within him or on him. Avdechayilich. Your servant will go and will fight with this plishti. Now, turning to Ezra Tzadik point, and then Adam Tzadik, the Malbim points out that David is saying that this plishti, he's subhuman. His blasphemy makes him inhumane, subhuman, animalistic. Any adam, a person who's called an adam, is a tzelem elokim, a true adam, ayipo lev adam alav. A person who's truly an Adam, who truly has the courage of being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and representing Hashem, such a person who's a true Adam, that type of person does not be afraid of Goliath.
Why did he take himself out of that?
Who?
Himself took himself out of
that. God is saying he's the Adam.
No, but Yomer Lezor Shol, Alipo Leib Adam Olam, I'm the Chuyay.
Yeah, me, I'm an Adam.
Is that what he said?
Yes. According to the way the mom is learning, that's what it means, yes. Look at the Radak also. Perush al
atzmo. I thought it was the opposite. He says, I don't know that category.
No,
no
man, no Adam should have his heart fall. No true human being should be scared.
Yeah, but it seems to me that he's taking himself out of that category.
I think he's including himself. The Radak and the Malvin both say that. You could learn otherwise. You could learn Shas Pasuk that Adam is going on Shoal, and he's calling, saying the Shoal, your heart shouldn't fall within you. But that's difficult because he would he call Shoal an Adam? He would say Ayipo Lev HaMelech. It's a little bit strange for him to be calling Shoal Adam, unless he taka felt Tishtachim Shoal, but he had no reason to do that at this time. So I think it's going on David as well. Any Adam should not be afraid of this plishti. All right, I can't prove it to you either way, that's for sure. Vayomer Shaul, Laman Gimel, Vayomer Shaul El David, so Shaul said, give me a break. Lotucha Lalechas, El Aplishti Azeli Lachimimo, you can't go to this Plishti to fight with him. Kinar, I thought you're a kid. According to the Marie Krah.
He wasn't 28 years old.
Yeah, I don't know how you call a 28-year-old guy a kid. I mean, life expectancy at that time wasn't too hot. I don't know how much longer people live.
They must have life.
Yeah.
What was his blue eyes?
Excuse me? Blue eyes. Well, that's the next point. That's the next point that Shoal's making. That's the Malin point of Kinar, Atos going on David. That he's a young guy. Besides that, he's a very, very adept warrior. You're not. So the Malvin learns it's two separate statements. I guess you could combine the two if you wanted and say Nar Atah and you're a Nar as opposed to Muzin Ish Milchama. But the Malvin learns that's two separate points. A, you're young and inexperienced. B, he's an old warrior. Two separate points. So, yeah, that. I hear what you're saying. Okay, it's possible. It's possible. But still, I don't know if I would say that it's Nar. I would say, Hu Ish Milchama Vatolo? Well, that's called fool. That somebody's foolish. Somebody's.
Yeah.
All right. Look, the case could be made. Certainly, it's not a refutation of anything. Yeah, you're right. I agree. Vayomer David Shaul. So David says Shaul a very interesting thing. Roei Avdecha La'aviv Batzon. The servant was a shepherd for his father, by the sheep. Uba Ariv Adov, and the lion and a bear came. Uba Ariv Esadov, and Chazal Dash Vesadov means not just one bear, but a whole den of bears. The bear and a few other cubs and five altogether, I think he says. Look at Rashi Lama Vav. Harelu Elu Ribuin. It says it's S. It means Ariv Shnei Gurav, a lion and two cubs. The Dov Shnei Ladav and a bear and it's two cubs. They all came at the same time. The Nasa Semi Eider and they all together took a sheep from the herd. Now from the flock. Now before we go further and to see what David did, you know, when we think of these things Tzadokian, we cannot think that lions and bears are just coincidences. Why was David granted a symbol as his future victory with a lion and a bear? And let me explain a little bit more. Chazal say, if you take a look in Pasuk Lamed Zayin in Rashi, Hashem Shaitzin Miyad Ari, Yodani Shlochinam Nizdamin Li Adavaru. I know it's not for naught that I had to save a lamb from a lion and a bear. In the future, I'm going to come to a similar situation with Shuas Yisrael to save Am Yisrael. Right, it's symbolic. I'm going to rely on this power. The eighth saying, I'm going to go to war. And David's two tzaddikim were given an illusion to their future success. The Choshu La'atku Adav, and they suspected that something was going on, and they sensed this, and they perceived that there was something significant being indicated to them. David or Mordechai? Shenemar, B'chol Yom, where we see Mordechai? It says, B'chol Yom, Yom Mordechai, Mislech, Nechot, Sever, Goymer. Omar, he said, Lo L'chinam, Olsa, Tzadek, Zu, L'Tzadek, Zu, Shenitvasa, Mishkav, Orel, Azeh. It can't be for naught that this Tzadek was taken to the bed of this uncircumcised Goy. El Shasida, Yil, Amelie, Sobe, Yom, Tzor. But rather, it must be that she's eventually going to redeem the Jews. So in any event, why a lion and why a bear? So, very interesting, there are a couple of interesting chazals here. First of all, about lions. It says in Psachim Daf Mem Tes that you should never marry off your daughter to an Amoretz. Why? Because just like a lion rips apart its prey violently and then eats it, so too an Amoretz is violent with his wife and and who very often will force her to have relations and abuse her in all sorts of ways, similar ways. So we see a lion is one form of taiva. A lion goes with a very, very kofta lifnei ari. Right. You see that a lion is one way of approaching arayis with violence and force, and with overt, I should say, overt sin. A bear, Chazal say, describes the Persians. The Persians are swathed in furs like bears, and they're large like bears, and there's a very interesting Chazal which says that they're like bears, and one Chazal, actually two Chazals, one says they're like, this is the Chazal in Brachas, in Megillah Daf Yud Aleph, says they're like bears, and in Brachas Daf Ches it says that the Persians are very, very sanua. They're very humble. Not humble, modest. They do things with great modesty. And we find that, the Gemara says in Megillah, I think Daf Yud Gimel, by Achashverosh. It says, Mitoch Gnuso Shel Oso Rasha Talomid Shivcho. From the denigration of that evildoer, you learn his praise. Because by Achashverosh, it says, B'chol Bo'erev Yibol Babokir Yishava. Right? So he used to take the girls every night. So although that's, he was a big Baal Taiva, every night he had a new girl. But on the other hand, Epis, he did it at night. He did it with sneers. So at least he did it. What? He did Shuva. He was drunk, right. Anyway, and Chazal say about the Persians that they're Tznuim and Mzumonim Il Gehenim. They're modest and they're going to Gehenim. So the way I understand it is because they're modest on the outside. It's like today, you know, the Iranians, they make themselves very frum on the outside, but on the inside, oy vavoy, right? So back then, the same thing. On the outside, they made themselves very, very frum, very modest. On the inside, they're as big as Baal Yitaiva as anybody else, even big. Okay? In fact, it says a very interesting thing. It says in Chazal, when the wife of Potiphar came to entice Yosef, so Chazal say that Yosef, this is Rashi brings down a chumash, that Yosef said that Yosef got very comfortable and he forgot he was in Golus. So Hashem said, we're so nice and comfy in Golus. Let's see what you do with the bear. That's what he said about the wife of Potiphar. That's what Chazal say about the wife of Potiphar. He didn't even gare b'chos adoiv, I'm going to stick the bear on you. So the way I understand it is that, although I don't know the traits of a bear, I assume that a bear is modest and secretive and furtive, right? They come up softly behind you. So here, the wife of Potiphar, she didn't go and approach David brazenly outright. She waited until nobody else was home, and it was in all, you know, scheming, right? So Goliath represents to us the very power of taiva, of lust, and of znus. So Kadosh Baruch Hu sent him a simon. He said, you know, there are two ways in which you're going to be Baal Avera, a person who transgresses and seeks to transgress matters of Arias. One is to be a violent, outgoing rapist type, still lying. The other is to be a cunning, scheming, furtive seducer. That's the bear. I'm sending you a lion and bear to defeat. You should know that no matter what kind of avera you face, what kind of power of tumor, whether it be a bear or a lion, you'll be able to overcome it. And Goliath comprised both. Goliath represented to us at the time the ultimate in tumor. And Reb Sadek says, return to my notes for a minute. And over here. Pesach Lama Gimel Lama Dalet. Appreciate Azeb, 5-6 lines in the bottom, 7 lines in the bottom. The sound of some circumcised Philistine. Vaya appreciate Azeb, and it would be this uncircumcised Philistine. These are all quotes from David. Vendi ve David is the words of David. Shoisa makoso tama. David, his wound was whole. Shinola and Mohul, I don't know where it says, but it says David was born circumcised. Vama tchila kichiref. And it says about Goliath that he blasphemed or scoffed. Kibris haloshon, because it says charatz there, but supposed to be chirev. Kibrisa lasham, because the covenant of the mouth neged brisa mar is linked to the covenant of the flesh. And somebody who's messed up in matters of the flesh, like Goliath, his mouth will be running as well. V'toliz ebizad, they're linked to each other. Rivnei yoso, and because Goliath was. No, I'm not sure what the word is. It got cut off. I don't know. But anyway, he was the shorish tumas hayisod. He was the source of the tumah matters which have to do with the foundation of maintaining one's personal sanctity. Uvrisa mor in the covenant over matters of arayas. Akenu gavgit shorish tumas brisa loshim. So too, he was also involved. He was rooted in the defilement of his speech. Gankin shumidas amachus peh, which is the antithesis of the concept of having our mouths under regal control, which is Torah Shebaal Peh, Karinala, which is Torah Shebaal Peh. Ki yisodu malchus, and in this respect, yisod, which has to do with relations and was forbidden relations and licentiousness, umalchus and kingship, mechubarim yachad, are connected. David HaMelech, he had the capacity to overcome with his kingship, with the restraint he could impose. Sometimes the execution he could perform, he could harness the powers of Arias. And that's why David was the one who vanquished him. Esau, and it says, that Goliath is going to be like the lion and bear that he smote, like David smote. Because individuals who are Arelim are like animals. And David HaMelech perceived, not yet David HaMelech, but David at that time perceived Goliath as being, as he said before, certain degree subhuman. So therefore, David was the one who was chosen to denigrate that power which Goliath possessed and realize that all of it is rooted in Arias and Taiva and is antithetical to Judaism. And therefore, he is going to overcome them based on the inspiration which he had from the bear and from the lion. Okay? Now, no, there's the Dov all over Tanakh, but I don't think it won the Shvatim. Okay, Lamed Hey. V'yotzati acharav. I followed, this is a bit confusing, I followed, I guess, the lamb. Or I followed the bear, or the lion, name it, I followed one of them. V'yikisiv, and I smote the,
all of them.
I'm not sure which one we're talking about here. I guess it means all of them. I don't know. But in any event, or maybe first was the bear. He taught me people, and I saved the lamb from its mouth. By Yalkam a lion, then the lion rose up against me. So what do you do when a lion rises up against you? I held onto the lion's mane. And I smote him, and I beat him up, and I killed him. So the bottom line is, David, both the lion and the bear, Hiko Avdecha, I smote. Well, you have the and this Philistine, the uncircumcised one, will be Kechon Mehem, like one of them. Because he denigrated the formations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the living God. Vayomer David, and David said, Hashem, Asher Yitzilani, God who saved me, Miyad Ari, from the lion, who Miyad Adov, and from the hands of the bear, who Yatzilani, Miyad Plishtim, he'll save me from the hands of the Philistine, Hazav, Plishti, Hazav, from the hands of this Philistine. But Yomer Shaul David, Shaul said, oh, you're invoking the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fine. Gesundheit. Lech. Go. Hashem Yemach, and may God be with you. Via Shaul is David is my dove. Shaul gave David his uniform, his coat of armor to wear. Benosan kova and a choshes arosh, and he put a copper hat on David's head. Via Beishol so shiryon, and he cloaked him in armor. Via God David is charbo. David buckled on his sword, me'ala my dove above his uniform. Via yoelachas, and he tried to walk. He lonely stuck because he never tried walking before in such a getup. David said to Shaul, "Lo chala lechas, I cannot go kibayla in these kila in this furniture in this furniture in this armor kiloni siti because I never tried before." Vayisirem David me'alav and David removed them move the armaments from upon him. Now, it's a very difficult medrash here, but I have to show it to you anyway. You'll understand if you take a look here in Rashi. Rashi says, as David Madam, Shaul was very, very tall. David, we don't know. He wasn't. He was supposed to be a lad at the time. He certainly was not so tall. Nebchulios Kamina's David. So when David put on these armaments, they became David's size. Now they became David's size by the Yaakov Shemoni, but it says by David growing up. David got taller when he was anointed by the oil. It didn't just have a spiritual change on him, it had a physical change on him. And he says, therefore, even though originally these were Shaul's armaments, his armor, was higher than all the rest of the nation, from his shoulders and above, nonetheless, they fit David. They came at Shaul, so why couldn't David walk in them? Came at Shaul, Shaul, and when Shaul saw that they fit David properly, he thought, red flag. Uh-oh, this might be the one to take over. So he tried to levy. I don't know if intentionally, maliciously or not, but he tried, he levied an ayin hara against David. David felt that and therefore took off the armor in order not to suffer from that ayin hara, which didn't allow him to walk when he was wearing that armor. Okay? He took his staff in his hand. He chose five smooth stones, minanacha, from the riverbed. He put them in the shepherd's toolbox, which was with him, uvi alkut, and in his knapsack. The kalobiodo, and he had his catapult in hand, not catapult, what are they called? Slingshots. Slingshot in hand, vayigasho aplishti, and he drew close to aplishti. Now, there are a whole bunch of things here in these psukim. First of all, the Malbim notes, we're not up to there yet. Did I not read it?
Yeah.
I read Mem, I meant Rev. It continues on. In any event, the Radak has a bunch of extensive midrashim here. First the Malbim. The Malbim says that the choice of weaponry bears out David's regard of Goliath as a subhuman. If he regarded Goliath as being a true, you know, equal, so he should have chosen some equal task, some equal weapon, not sticks. Sticks are what a shepherd uses to chase away dogs. So therefore, got confused. How do I start off the Malbim? The Malbim says that this is proof that David regarded Goliath is less than human, like a dog. That's why he took a stick or staff to kick him out, to beat him up. And Goliath later felt this, and he was insulted. He took umbrage. He said, here I am, a big warrior, and you're just taking a stick as if I'm a dog. That's one thing. Another thing the Malbim points out is that the Malbim had a perspective way back when that... the Malbim had a perspective way back when that this was supposed to be a duel. David and Goliath. Goliath originally prose, should duel it out, and the rest of the nation should follow whoever wins. So this year, David is going to get Goliath annoyed because if you have a duel, then you have an equivalent choice of weapons. Each person has swords, each person has revolvers, each person has whatever. So he said, Goliath's going to get annoyed because saying, this is not fair. We're not going to have the duel the way I proposed it. So we'll see that in a couple of minutes. In the meantime, first of all, why five? Why five stones? So the Radak here, the Radak says in Pasuk Mem, Chamisha Chiluke Avonim, maybe see it's the last page of Radak, the last line of Radak on page 146. Avonim, Chalukim, separate stones, and Tolomaru, smooth stones. Tolomaruim, Lekeller, which are suitable for slingshooting. V'cheterim Yonatan, and so to Yonatan translates, she have nice smooth stones. V'nidrash l'machamisha, why five? Echol l'shmosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one for the name of God. V'echol l'shmosh L'Aaron, one for the name of Aaron. U'shlosh on three more, u'shlosh avos. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and why are all these people responsible here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, v'chilo l'fanai chiyav kidev. Didn't he blaspheme before me, Goliath? Olai l'fanai menu, I take retribution on him. Amar Aaron said, v'chilo goy l'adamani, am I not the goy l'adam? of Goliath had said earlier, according to the Yonas ben Uzziah, he had said that he had killed Hophni and Pinchas, the sons of Eli. And they had gone to war. So now Aaron says, I'm the Goel Adam. I have to redeem Hophni and Pinchas' blood. A lively parmenu. Amru Avos, and they said to Avos, because the Avos said, do not, we have to take retribution from he who blasphemed and denied Marachos Elohim, the formations of God. Chaim, Divrei Elohim, Chaim. Rikesh Lakar bin Yabonenu, and you have to uproot our children. This is also the Avos speaking. Lakar Tarosim and uproot their Torah, which is their life force. Okay? In any event, that's one medrash. Then he brings down another medrash, which I don't think we'll see tonight. But in any event, another thing here, another important thing was, just a second. Yeah, but I believe that the five is related to this. How many parts of the soul are there?
Five.
Those like Dr. Spindel who go to a Kabbalah class know that there's Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. Nefesh is the part of the soul which animates the body. Ruach is a part of the soul which animates the power of speech and the breath. Neshama is the power of the soul which animates the mind, the brain. Chaya and Yechida, Chaya is the special spark of Kedusha which every Jew possesses, even if they don't realize it's there. And Yechida is that quality of the Neshama which unifies it, which miyachid it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, David HaMelech wants to make a nace. A nace. A miracle. The way to make this miracle is by connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu fully and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help him out. The way you do that is getting in touch with your own neshama. So to speak, climbing up the rope or extending the rope of your own neshama up to the heavens. That's what it took five stones to represent those five parts of the neshama coming together and connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, one more thing about this pasuk is that the Yalkut Shimoni brings down that the five stones gathered on their own. That's what I saw parallel of Yaakov Avinu here. Because just like by Yaakov Avinu, the 12 stones said, we want to be the
Under the tzaddik's there.
Here, each of the stones said, we want to be the one David throws at Goliath. So you see that the inanimate objects, even inanimate objects, can serve tzaddikim. We know that it's true because each inanimate object has a spiritual force. You don't have a blade of grass, which a malach is not standing over and telling it to grow. So those spiritual forces are subservient to the tzaddik's role. They want to be subservient to the tzaddik's role. So the spiritual force of inanimate objects, like rocks, combines together to be placed in David's hands. Okay? Chazal, Yaakov Shimoni brings it down. Okay. Now, Pasuk Mem Aleph, it says, it says, Vayigashu Aplishti. David drew close to the Plishti. In Pasuk Mem Aleph, it says, Vayelch Aplishti Holech Vekarev El David. The Plishti got close to David. Vayish no Seitzino in front of him, and a shield bearer walked in front of him. Here it says not Vayigash, but rather Vayelech. So the Malvim says, the Aimplay says Vayigash, says it's Vayigash, you love Yehuda by Yosef. It's to display, to tell us that an extra measure of courage was required to do this. And here too, what happened is obviously that David, despite all of his great confidence, he was still a little bit afraid. So therefore, he required Vayigash, a special act of overcoming his difficulty, in order to be courageous enough to go and vanquish Goliath. Okay. Pasuk of Membeis. Vayabeda Plishti, the Plishti looked at David. Vayiras David, he saw David, he said he made a mockery of him. Kiyoyon Nar, because he was a kid. Vadmoni, and he was red. He made fame red haired, he made fame red. With a nice image, a nice facade. Not facade, but a nice countenance. So in any event, here the Malvim says, no, the Meforshim debate the significance of Admoni Yifei 9. The Marikra, here it's talking of the Marikra, and the last line of the Marikra, he's the one who says, your Nar means that he was 28. The traditional chronology.
So thus could be said that Nar, he was saying to David, hey, you're a young kid. What's the proof of you're a young kid? Look at your bright red hair. Carrot top means you're not so mature. I don't know what else to do with that. People have red hair, very, very mature. But in any event, maybe it's only red beards. But in any event, so David HaMelech says, David is poking fun at David and saying, you might look, be 28, but you're a punk. You don't know anything. You can't fight a war. Now, the way I would explain this puzzle, however, is that, oh, yeah, here is the connection. See, yeah, it was a connection. It was a connection. Here. Was that, even according to Mari Kro, I can say this, but I can say it certainly is true according to everybody else. Nar, it says Yosef was called a Nar. Why is he called a Nar? What did he used to do, Maisenaris? Hair, yeah, but he spent a long time with his hair. So David, Mistoma also was a little bit like that. He was very handsome. So what did Yagoya see? This David fellow, he's Admoni, he's red haired, stickler ready Magusham, Gashmis oriented. It's a stereotype, but that's the stereotype. And besides that, he's a Nair. Look at how dainty he is. What a, you know, handsome young guy. Fancy young guy. So he says, this fellow David, you can't wage a war. You're nothing. He didn't realize that David is Admoini, yes, but he's with the Fe'inayim. Fe'inayim, remember, means that everything he does with Yir Shamayim, with the eyes of a Sanhedrin. So the way he saw it is just a Nair and Admoini. And therefore, he looked down on David. Okay? He didn't realize that David had the Kedusha of Fe'inayim, so he saw David would A, be a physical pushover, and B, a spiritual pushover. Because Admoni, people who are red normally aren't the holiest people. So therefore, he thought David would. He saw the Chitzonius, right. Vayomer Plishti El David, so the Plishti said to David, Hakel Vanoichi, am I a dog? Ki Atobai Laiba Makos, you're coming with me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his god, with the name of his god. So was he a dog? The answer is, of course he was a dog. First of all, he lost his whole tzelem Elokim. Besides that, his mother had relations with a dog that night. Besides that, take a look at the Reb Tzadok I have here on the last page, in Mem Gimel. Ha'ina kamo shamayinu, about seven lines in the bottom. Ha'ina kamo shamayinu, the matter is like we've said previously several times in the Reb Tzadok and Shmois. The Vemakas Bechoris Ksiv, Vemakas Bechoris says, L'chol b'nei Yisrael l'yechatz kelev l'shoino, to all b'nei Yisrael, dogs would not bark, the goymer, etc. V'lami yechatz kelev l'shoino, why should dogs bark when they left Egypt? What's the chiddush? So the dogs didn't bark, they didn't bark. It's partial, they didn't bark. Achaklipa, but the pshat is that dogs represent tuma. They represent, the dogs here are paradigmic dogs. Not necessarily the actual dogs. The actual dogs might represent the dogs which are the paradigm, which are the nimshals, so to speak. What are the dogs? Dogs represent to us the ultimate degree of brazenness, of chutzpah, of denying the kedusha of Am Yisrael. So here too, the klipa tumah is a kel novech, is a barking dog, the katrek, and he prosecutes and refuses to concede on mashaoz nivru b'chorei Yisrael, that the Jewish b'chorim were chosen because they were elite, shem kedusha, they were holy. The Mitzrayim, because no guy believed that Mitzrayim, which is Klipas HaTaiva, the residence of the Tumah of Taiva, Vikar Zuma, and the primary pollution was in their Bechoros. They couldn't believe that Jews could be holy. In fact, the Jews clarified that they already were no longer besullied. They no longer had this kind of evil Taiva, which the Egyptians had, which Caleb represents. So here, and we know by Goliath, besides having had relations with the dog, Goliath was brazen. He was a mechutzah. Pnei ador ki pnei Caleb. And Chazal say the generation is a brazen one. They use the muscle of a dog. A dog, and that's why normally a dog associated with Amalek. Because Amalek is very brazen, right? They come, despite all odds, and come and wage war against the Jews. Here too, Goliath, for the last 40 days, has been a real Caleb. He's been going with this unbelievably brazen chutzpah and mocking the Jews and mocking their God and mocking etc., etc., etc. So therefore, we say, though Goyas had a caravan, am I a dog? The answer is, takiyeh. You are a dog. There's no other way of describing you, and imminently you'll be defeated. Now here too, the Malbim brings up the duel issue, and he says, Goyas was upset, because he said, here we're going to duel. But I can't hold the sword and you hold the five stones. That's not a duel. Fair is fair. We both have to have the same weapon. So Goliath is upset because his original plan of waging war in the form of a duel has been dashed. Okay, let's just get over one more pasuk. Vayomer plishtiel David lechaylai. So the plishti said to David, you know what, you're such a pipsqueak, I don't even want to come to you. You come to me so I can kill you. Lechaylai, come to me. Ve'etnas b'sarcha, and I will give over your flesh le'ofat shamayim, to the birds of the heavens, and to the animals of the field. So needless to say, when David heard all this, and he heard Goliath blaspheming HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was fortified for the final kill, which Mir Tashem we will see next week.